This is Cap and J-Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap J-Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
So, baseball may have some new rules. We were talking about it this morning amongst the group of baseball fans here. Theo Epstein has a lot to do with all of these proposed rule changes that they're going to try in the minor leagues. They're going to ban some forms of defensive shifts. I said shift. More games governed by an electronic strike zone. A 15-second pitch clock. I think the pitch clock was 30 seconds in the past, wasn't it?
Yes.
So that's a major change, because if you're a guy who likes to work slow, that's a problem, man. On a 96-degree day, you're tired, you're used to your routine, and now they're telling you if you don't throw it in 15 seconds, they start calling balls. Ball one, ball two. Slow down! That's a problem. A guy like Mark Burley, it would never have affected.
No.
Limiting pickoff moves, larger bases to prevent collisions at the bases. They said it'll have a very small but a minuscule effect on stolen bases because the base will be bigger. You'll get there a little bit quicker. Theo Epstein had a lot to do. They want to improve the on-field product.
Okay. As a show, let's talk about this together because I need some help on how to feel about some of this. As someone who grew up with playing baseball, loving baseball, I don't mind change as long as change is better for the sport. See, here's the difference between me and maybe someone who's younger than me that wants to love baseball. They talk about how the game is too slow. Keep in mind, I'm an American League White Sox fan. As a kid, I'm used to three-hour games. See, it's an investment, baseball. Is it not? It's an investment.
It is.
It has no clock.
Correct.
So you just are, especially if you're at the ballpark on a beautiful day, I'm in no hurry to get home.
Same here.
It's not a movie. It's a baseball game.
Correct.
Right? It's not like on the where you see the description of the movie and says 108 minutes. Okay, well, at least I'm going to invest that much time in this movie.
Correct.
Was JFK 18 hours or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is, right? So it's a baseball game. It's leisurely. It's always been that way. I don't need a clock for anything. But again, as an American League guy, as a kid, I'm watching, you know, games end at 10:30 for a 7 o'clock first pitch. It's the way it is, right? Mm-hmm. For the Cubs games, 2.5 hours, 2:45 on the average that I grew up watching. So it doesn't bother me. They are trying to implement this change because they're trying to catch up with the Joneses. Like, look at soccer and look at hockey and look at – for me, baseball can be different, and I'm okay with that. So when I look at the each thing that you mentioned, right, the one thing I'm concerned with is defensive shifts. Now, analytics says that the shortstop or the second baseman can be in short center, short right center, short left center, whatever it is, to try to plug up the gaps. But the other conundrum with baseball, something that we don't see, that you and I saw as kids that we don't see now, is we're not getting enough doubles in this game. We're not getting enough triples. To see the ball in play is part of the game, man. It's not to strike out a home run.
That's the worst.
Right.
Like, if you get a home run, yeah, great. I like when there's men on, men moving, line drive down the right field line or a ground ball to the right side, move them over, and then a base hit, two runs going to score. That makes it fun.
Yes. You're keeping the line moving. And so that's what's missing in the game. It's the equivalent of what you see in the NBA now, layups and threes. Well, where's the intermediate game? That's what we're missing here. When someone can do it proficiently, you're like, oh, that's good. He's got the short range going. He's got the Joe Johnson game working. Like, all right.
Yeah.
All right, I like that, right? Because he can shoot all over the floor. In baseball, I want my baseball all over the field where I could see the extra base runner. And something else is missing. I don't see the stolen base enough. The analytics have gotten way too much in the game where it's like, nope, just home runs because that's the high percentage shot. That's what you need for baseball. You got to get the home run. Well, it's got to be more than that.
Okay, so you're a baseball fan. I'm a baseball fan. Meller, you're younger than us. Do you think you should be able, you want to put all eight guys on, or seven guys, on one side of the field? Have at it. Or they should be restricted from doing whatever bizarre thing they want to do because the analytics tell them you'll win more games that way.
So as a fan, I'm intrigued by the idea of limiting the shift because effectively what they're trying to do is when the ball is put into play, they would like to see the outcome be more actual hits. Because what you've seen in these analytically inclined front offices is that they have all this data that they collect. You know, they feed everything into computers. They've got all these algorithms that tell them, hey, this is the best place to align your defense to take away hits. Listen, if you're a fan of a baseball team, this is exactly what you want your front office to be doing, right? You want the best outcome, giving you the best chance to win. However, also, as a fan just watching the game, it's not nearly as much fun by the fact that all these things that you guys, Hoodie, you have just pointed out, the lack of stolen bases, the lack of base hits, you know, not having those in the game to the extent you used to really has hurt baseball aesthetically. You now get to the point where you go almost 4 minutes in between balls actually in play because you'll see strikeouts, you'll see walks, but you won't see as many balls in play. And when you do, those are converted at a lower percentage into hits. And so that makes everything problematic because now you have also then that the trickle effect is players say, well, I can't hit. I can't just. It's much easier rather than say, oh, just go the other way.
Yeah.
It's much, much easier to affect your change and try and affect your launch angle, which will result in more home runs, which in the end gives your team. It's easier to score off a home run. This is like no brainer. But the reason you see all these strikeouts and versus home runs, it's easier to score on a home run rather than put together multiple base hits, especially when the lack of contact in the game, you no longer have, like, even if I hit a single because I went the other way, Anthony Rizzo goes the other way, he's on first base, great. Next hitter up, whether it's Wilson Contreras, Javi Baez, they don't move him over on just a ball the other way to advance him to second because guess what? They've been ingrained their entire life to, based on their launch angle, their swing path, to either, you know, coax a walk or hit a home run for the most part.
Correct.
And so if they don't move him along, then you have another out, and another base hit doesn't necessarily result in a run.
Also, the other thing, too, on here is limited pickoff moves. It's not like they're throwing it over there 100 times.
Correct. The only time they do is if, what's his name? Willie McGee, Vince Coleman, Ricky Henderson, like the fastest of the fast. That's it.
And they got those guys out of the game.
Yeah,
those guys out of the game. Those guys now are on the back of the bench like a Dyson.
Yeah, Billy Hamilton.
Yeah, they don't utilize those guys enough. So you're trying to limit the pickoff moves. Now you want larger bases. I'm all for making sure you don't have injuries. The 15-second pitch clock is also something too. Like, I don't need that for me, Cap. But for the next generation, here's the big question. Okay, the last question I have for you on this: any of these rules, if this was implemented in Major League Baseball, how many more fans would watch? It's still baseball.
A. B. You'd have to see years of data that changed. Like, I'm looking at this in USA Today. League-wide batting average, and I know it's not the be-all, end-all.
It is for us.
Was 270 in 2000. That was the league-wide batting average.
Yep.
245 last season because everybody's trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark.
Oh, but it's not just that they're trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark. It's when they do hit the balls in play, there's four outfielders who are lined up, and the ball that used to go in the gap, you know what? Now that's a flyout.
Correct.
It's become the softball roamer out there.
Right.
that defense.
What are you playing? Short center. Right?
Right. It just, oh, man. And to Mellor's point, you can get some guys that hit oppo, right? But then what about the rest of the lineup? How can you get them over and get them in when it's shut off defensively?
Right.
Just unless you can hit the ball hard.
Theo said him and his ilk are somewhat to blame.
I don't know. I like my baseball the way it is. I'm fine with it.
Because you love the sport.
I understand.
No matter what they said, you would like the sport.
But if these rules were in place, Cap, you're not going to sell one more ticket. You won't get one more viewers. Oh, look, the game seems... No, either you're going to love baseball or you're not.
Correct.
I'm just telling you.
When they said, hey, we can shorten the game by 12 minutes.
It's not...
I don't think kids are going, hey, I can't go outside and play with you guys, or I'm not playing video games, or I'm not going to the bars with my buddies. Because they shorten the game by 12 minutes. Either you love baseball or you don't.
kids are looking at baseball like they look at basketball and everything else. Show me the highlights.
Like I think,
show me the clips.
Letting guys bat flip and show their swag and their style, that's way more important to the young generation.
Sure. The one thing I'll say, though, is if I'm watching a baseball game, and I love baseball, and I grew up, you know, in the 80s and 90s watching teams like the Cardinals that actually had guys, you know, steal bases, It was fun to have a few teams that actually had a different style rather than all your American League mashers that you were mentioning, Hoodie.
Hey.
Watching baseball nowadays without my phone is painful. It is hard to watch baseball on a pitch-by-pitch basis because of the lack of action. Like, if I didn't have my phone so that I could read Twitter while watching a baseball game, it would be a much harder ask.
Agreed.
All right,
your thoughts, 312-332-3776. Are you a fan of getting rid of the shift in baseball? The baseball nerds out there, I'm not criticizing you, Connor. Just don't agree with your take on this. 312-332-3776. He does not want the shift gone. He's very into the analytics, and I think we've gone overboard. Information's great, but when it guides every decision, the worst. The worst. Like taking Blake Snell out in Game 7. Really? Really?
That was nonsense.
He's dominating.
At some point, you extend a middle finger to the analytics department upstairs
right.
And go, my gut says that he's still, we're trying to win this thing. He's going.
Correct.
Let's go.
3-1-2. If it's the middle of July, I get it.
Yep.
Game 7, that's the Cy Young winner from a year or two ago. I'm pitching him. I'm going with that guy. 312-332-3776. Your thoughts next.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood
on ESPN 1000
and the ESPN Chicago app.
All right, so baseball is going to try a bunch of different rules. Do you like them? Do you not like them? Is it going to make you watch or your kids watch baseball more if these rules are implemented? How much time will it take before these would have a major effect? 3 years? 5 years? 2 seasons? 1 season? Hoodie's laughing about something else I told him at the break.
Oh, that's crazy.
Isn't that funny?
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll get into that as well. So funny. We got something else people will get a laugh out of. Let's go to the phones. Elmhurst Steve is first. Steve, what's up, Sparkles?
Good morning. Hey, you know, I think that this is a great idea because, you know, one of the basic things you learn in baseball, a good hitter hits the ball where it's pitched. But you can't do that effectively with all this shifting, because what they do is they design the defense along with the pitching so that they can try to make you hit the ball to a certain part of the field. And, you know, so now you can't overload the one side so that, okay, we're going to pitch you this way, so you're going to hit it to this side of the field, and we're going to have a better chance of getting you out. No. Now, you know, you're going to be able to poke the ball through a whole lot more and put the ball in play, and, you know, creates a lot more action. But, you know, the biggest thing is just, hey, you know, you've got a more fair chance to hit the ball where it's pitched if you don't have all this shifting. And I applaud it. I think the fact that is they should also implement a rule that you can only have two players on each side of second base.
They're considering in the second half of the season.
Yeah, I would love to see that. You got to have everybody's got to, all the infielders got to have their feet on the dirt, and then they have only two on each side of the field. And then you're going to see a whole lot more balls put in play. Like you're talking about, 270 versus 245. I mean, that's a big difference. And,
huge.
And, you know, and then I would want to see also, and I talked to, you know, one of the minority owners about this, you know, they need to have the umpires go out and check players when they suspect that they're using pine tar, because over half the pitchers in Major League Baseball are using substances so that they can get more spin on the ball. And, you know, that creates a lot more strikeouts again.
Yeah,
we don't want that. We want balls in play.
Agreed. Steve, thanks, man. Have a great weekend. We appreciate you.
Every game doesn't have to be 10-8 for me, but I would like for the ball to be put in play because, to me, home runs are like the three-point shot in basketball, right? Come on out. Like, okay, I've seen fireworks a lot. I know what that looks like. But what about keeping the line moving, keeping the inning alive, knocking a pitcher out? There's a way to do that.
Agreed. Let's go back to the phones. Harding, our guy. Hey, Harding, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? I don't know if I like the rule change for the shifts, just because it seems like every sport is implementing a way to neutralize defense in general. So, like, there's a point in every sport where defensive strategy comes into play. So if I'm pitching on the inside and causing you to pull and I'm shifting, figure out how to hit better. Like, just figure out a better strategy on offense. I'm sorry. Like, that's the point of the game. It's a chess match. Now, I get the viewership side, right? Like, money talks. So more eyes on the game, more action, more ad dollars, blah, blah, blah. But if we're talking from a purist standpoint, I never thought I'd see the day where I'm calling maybe an older generation snowflakey. But stop taking defense out of every sport, speaking from as a Bears fan. I mean, we never had offense. So I only can be appreciative of a defensive side of a team. All right, you guys, talk to you later.
Appreciate you, Harding. Thanks, man. You know, he says everybody, you know, they're trying to get rid of defense. Mm-hmm. Yet the teams that win championships play great defense.
Sure.
The Buccaneers played great defense. Mm-hmm. They harassed Patrick Mahomes all day long. Even when Golden State was making all those shots, they played defense.
Yes.
And if you remember back when Cleveland upset Golden State in 2016, came from 3-1 down, what's the play that was most remembered from that series?
What do you remember?
LeBron James chasing a guy down and blocking the ball.
Yeah.
I think Klay Thompson took the shot.
I remember that.
That's the most iconic vision from that series. And you had firepower beyond belief. Steph and Klay and LeBron and Kevin Love and on and on. You remember a block shot.
Yeah.
That's what won the series.
Yeah. The teams with the best balance, those are teams more than likely have a chance to win.
Correct. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Keenan and Rogers Park. Keenan, what's up?
Yeah, hey, how's it going, gentlemen?
What's up, man?
What's up, Keenan?
I don't think baseball should do anything about the shift because I came up with like a weird similarity. I'm looking at arena football rules, you know, on how they limit the defensive players. Like guys can't line over the center. Jack linebacker lines up on the tight end, can't rush the quarterback. I feel like it gets to the point where like you're going to go down a rabbit hole, and I don't think they're going to be able to find their way back out of it because then they're going to get carried away with the metrics of it, and it's just going to lose that luster that isn't there anyways to begin with because they don't reach out to the younger generation. They don't create that flair. They don't market their guys. I mean, look at Mike Trout. I mean, there's still a lot of young kids that don't even know who he is, but he's like the greatest baseball player, you know, to be around, at least in this century. So I just think that baseball needs to work on a marketing standpoint before anything else. Like, let
Agreed.
The younger generation help guide you instead of having everything else try to guide you. I think they need to be more, like, fan-base oriented. Instead of figuring out what's going on the field, you need to figure out what's going on outside of the field.
And I appreciate the call, Keenan. I think he's very accurate there. Like, now it's cooler for Tim Anderson to have his swag or Javi to have his swag. They've got to market their stars better. But some of the on-field changes, like I'm resistant to robot umpires. I am, because I think the human element of the umpire is part of the game. Mm-hmm. But I understand people who, that ball was 4 inches outside and you're going to call that a strike? That's not fair either.
So nobody behind the catcher, it'd just be the batter and the catcher. So no one to argue with. Are you going to throttle the robots?
What if they had you with an earpiece, like an IFB like I wear on television?
Yeah.
And it's in his ear, and I'm upstairs, and the computer says, ball. And then Hoodie, ball! You know, like,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, who are you going to get upset at? Does no one to get upset at?
Hey, man, I'm just saying what they put in my ear. Don't yell at me.
We'll never know the true potential of a lot of these young players, Cap, unless they're able to hit and do multiple things besides just hit home runs and play defense.
But you got to market your stars and allow them. You know, I remember arguing with David DeJesus, who's one of my dearest friends.
Yeah.
I love David. He's a wonderful guy. He's like, kid, bat flips and all that's disrespectful to the game. I said, no, it's not. You want to pump your fist if you strike me out? Go for it. I got no issues. But if I take you deep and I'm going to Jeffrey Leonard it, people don't remember that.
I do.
Put one flap down with his arm and then the other arm out like an airplane.
Yeah.
And he would go. That was fun.
Yeah.
Do you remember Juan Berenguer?
I do.
Juan Berenguer in the World Series, if he got you, he'd ring you up on the mound. Gotcha.
Yes. I saw that a lot as a Sox fan.
Take him deep.
As he played for the Tigers.
And the Twins.
Yeah, the Twins. I remember that very well. You want marketing for the game? How about this article from The Athletic? Just The Athletic. I'm just going to read you the headline.
Mm-hmm.
Juan Soto at 22 just might be Ted Williams.
How about that?
Oh,
he's a great player.
I understand that, but God almighty, really?
Ted Williams is the greatest hitter ever. Ever. Ever.
Here's your marketing, Miller. The Athletic. Juan Soto just might be Ted Williams.
Yeah, no, I read that. That was Jason Stark.
Oh, my God.
So I'm curious, though, your reaction, Hoodie, is that good marketing? Are you like, that's too far? I'm just curious.
Wait, that's too far.
I mean, because Stark made his argument. I read it. Like, you know, like at what point do you start throwing around all-time greats? Because that's what we do, though. You know what I mean? Like the moment somebody does anything.
As soon as LeBron emerged, we went, is he better than Michael?
Well, that's always been the debate. Now, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's the era we live in.
Ted Williams, who told Frank Thomas, if I walked as much as you do, I'd commit Harry Carey. I mean, seriously.
Right.
I
but
mean,
Frank had an amazing eye.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, Ted didn't like that.
Let's go back to the phones. Buffalo Grove, Bob. Hey, Bob, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, guys. I got a question, and it's just baseball is just the greatest game out there. You know, and I love football, and I love it all. But baseball, if you sit down, a 1-0 game is as good as a 9-8 game. But you can't pay these guys $20 to $30 million a year, these hitters, and then tell the defense you can't go over there. I'm not going to tell my defense we got to let these $30 million players get hits. Let the player adjust, just like in basketball. Hack a shack. You can't make your free throws and get out of the game at the end.
It's a legitimate complaint and a legitimate point, Bob.
Good job, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. Very good call.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Have a great one. We appreciate you. Let's go to Chris in New Lenox. Hey, Chris, what's up, Cookie?
Not much, guys. I absolutely love that you guys brought up this topic here because I'm a high school baseball travel coach, and I'll tell you first and foremost, a lot of the issues is the game now doesn't reflect what the kids growing up see. They almost appeal more to the college game because of the diversity of what the skill set those guys present. And the raw emotion that comes on the field for a big-time college World Series game, right?
Yeah.
That's more of what they pertain to and what they enjoy. And then the other aspect of it, too, is the marketing is they don't let the players in the major leagues become individuals and market their stuff. I mean, half of what my guys wear and what they want to buy, the major leaguers they're not even allowed to wear it on the field. So, I mean, if you want to grow the game, it's not necessarily rule changes. Diversify your skill set. Allow yourself to play because the college game, hands down, way better. And allow your players to market and get your merchandise out there, and it's a great way to kind of grow the game that way.
It's a great point, and I remember watching the College World Series every spring. It was awesome. Awesome baseball. Loved it.
Yeah. Hands down. You tell me back a couple years ago with Vanderbilt, Michigan, if you didn't get jacked up and you didn't watch that game, like, I don't know what to tell you.
Hey, how about the game the other day? Boston College is down 9-1.
Mm-hmm.
In two outs in the ninth inning, it came back to win.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yep, and they got the sledgehammer at home plate, right?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Let that raw emotion come out. That is how you internally grow the game and get it out globally. That's flat out how you do it.
Chris, you're the man. Have a great day. A good weekend, kid.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we got a break. 312.
Go ahead.
332-3776.
As the voice of the UIC Flames, good luck to the Flames. They have their home opener against Milwaukee, a four-game set. And by the way, you saw what I tweeted the other day, right? Well, how odd was it? Northwestern against Minnesota at TCF Bank Stadium?
How about that?
You saw that, right?
I did.
It's like, it's amazing how cavernous that place is. That's a jaunt if you get a home run out of that place.
You got to really hit it.
In the short left, it was 366 down the line. It was just weird to see a baseball game in that football stadium.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
We will play shot or no shot. More of your calls. That is next.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bop, 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 bop.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Shot. No shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Shot, no shot, brought to you by PointsBet. PointsBet Sportsbook is here. Visit us at Hawthorne Racecourse and experience Illinois' premium sportsbook. And follow my PointsBet Twitter videos with picks. We'll have one later today. But first, download the PointsBet app. Get $100 in free bets when you deposit just $20 with the code ESPN. And caller 10 right now. Caller 10 gets a $100 Club Hawthorne mobile app wager gift card and 100 more to spend on PointsBet. You can make a bunch of money.
This is breaking
Uh-oh,
news.
Wait a minute now.
Sponsored by the PointsBet Sportsbook.
Again?
On Chicago's home for sports.
Second time.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Russell Wilson.
We turn now to veteran newsman Dan Zutterman with breaking news here on Cap and J-Hood. Dan.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. The ACC announced that Georgia Tech versus Virginia has been canceled following a positive test. Okay. Subsequent quarantining and contact tracing with the Virginia program. Thus, Virginia's out of the ACC tournament.
Ah. Now, will that knock them out of the NCAA? Because Duke said yesterday they had one positive Tier 1, either player or coach or trainer, test positive, and that with quarantine, they would not have been eligible to play. Does that knock one of the top teams in the country out of the tournament, period? Are they saying that yet?
They have not yet said they are out of the tournament. The interesting thing is now you have to look at the last team Duke played and the last team Virginia played and see how this is going to affect them going forward as
well. We turn now to Jeff Miller with the tournament ramifications of this. You're on Cap and J-Hood, Jeff.
If you're getting ready to participate in your Calcutta, cross Virginia off your list.
So we get the inside info there from Jeff, letting us know that Virginia more than likely will not be part of the NCAA tournament.
How about that?
And that leads me, gentlemen, into my first shot or no shot question.
Bring it on.
Okay, hold on a second. Is there an open? I think we have a little.
He just played it.
He just played it.
Is that shot or no shot?
Yeah, he came back with it.
My head's still spinning from the news.
Did you call me, Tom, or did I call you?
My head's still spinning. I'm just trying. We're now just trying to determine the bet situation between you,
yes,
and Cap.
Yeah, Danny's seeing this.
I'm losing my teams quickly, and that's let me ask the first question because that's what this is all about, boys. So we just heard that Virginia is now out of the ACC tournament, maybe out of the NCAA. Yesterday, Duke pulled out of the ACC tournament and the NCAA tournament. So I ask you guys, with all the blue bloods and the March regulars facing challenges, and teams may be forced to pull out of the tournament due to COVID, shot or no shot, the winner of this year's tournament will have an asterisk.
No, it's more impressive than ever if you're able to, no shot, if you're able to navigate the pandemic, get guys to buy in, college students, I mean.
Is it impressive or is it luck? Like, maybe the team that Virginia played last now is going to have to pull out because if contact tracing. So that it's just the luck of the draw now. It has nothing to do with being impressive at basketball as much as it has to do I'm lucky because Virginia was supposed to be my roadblock to getting to the Elite Eight, and now they're not there anymore.
Okay, explain to me then how where Pat Fitzgerald is being heralded for the protocols that he, Jim Phillips, put in place and their medical staff. They had zero positive tests the entire season, got their teammates and everybody to buy in. Now, I guess there is a little bit of luck, no question, because Hoodie and I could be as careful as we want, and if you're living a reckless lifestyle and we get nailed by contact tracing because Danny was out in a club last night, he wasn't, but you know what I mean. So, yes,
but
to your point.
You just proved my point. Guess how many positive tests Duke had this year? Zero. Duke was there were two programs heralded as being the cleanest two programs. Duke was among them. Now Duke's out, Cap. You're proving my point with bad luck.
Well, they left for two reasons. One, COVID, and two, they're terrible.
Yeah.
I don't want to be embarrassed. Let's get out.
Coach, we're trending right now as the last four, and we're playing in Dayton. Nope.
That's embarrassing. I will not be anyone's 16th seed. Out. Chicago K was like, nah, we ain't doing that.
Can we not take the Chicago away from him? Can he just be Raleigh Durham's K?
Chicago's
him
K.
Him and the Belushi brothers. Let's take back the Chicago part.
Come on now. He's Chicago K. Wow. He's one of us. He's a softball moron, just like the rest of us.
Did you guys see it got leaked, too, that it was a walk-on for Duke that was positive? That got leaked.
Oh, boy.
They couldn't, like, leave that in-house. They had to let people know that it was a walk-on.
One of our precious scholarship athletes.
I'm surprised they didn't blame the guy that Cap hates, Jalen Johnson.
It was Jalen Johnson.
I do not hate anyone. That word has been stricken from my vocabulary, other than red peppers.
They shouldn't be playing the conference tournaments. That that's what it comes down to. They're not really necessary right now. I know some teams are punching their ticket to the tournament, but like if you want to have March Madness go off without a hitch, we should not be playing these conference tournaments where you're putting more teams in jeopardy in a short amount of time.
I say they all should be in this COVID. Just bring them all in. Well, wasn't that the idea before the season? Have everybody play all the everyone in, everybody. So just give me my Gonzaga, get Chicago State. Let's go.
Oh, boy.
You know what they need to do if this continues to happen? Forget the NIT. You go with the co-VIT.
That's
right. The COVID teams playing their own separate tournament.
How about that?
I don't feel so good.
Exactly.
He's falling out on the floor.
True TV presents
Smith with a ventilator next to him all the way up the floor. I mean, it'd be horrible.
We interrupt Impractical Jokers again now for college basketball.
Yeah, exactly.
On True TV. All right, Danny, what else do you have for us?
Gentlemen, Patrick Ewing yesterday in the Garden.
This is so
a little
great.
Bit annoyed. Take a listen.
But I do want to say one thing, though. I thought this was my building. And I feel terrible that I'm getting stopped, accosted, asking for passes. Everybody in this building should know who the hell I am. And I'm getting stopped. I can't move around this building. Like I was like, what the hell? Is this Madison Square Garden? I'm going to have to call Mr. Dolan and say, geez, is my number in the rafters or what?
Oh, my God.
How about that?
Gentlemen, I ask you, shot or no shot, every single living human being in the state of New York City should know who Patrick Ewing is.
That's a no shot. And by the way, Patrick, I agree. If I'd see you, I'd know, hey, this is a building that you really thrived in. But you know what? That security guard's doing his or her job. How about that?
So
is doing their job.
Absolutely.
You don't get carte blanche because your name's in the rafters with no rings.
Correct.
What you are is that you happen to be in this building. I'm a security person. I've got to make sure you got your pass like anybody else.
So one guy who I've had my issues with, Billy Packer,
yes.
The former voice of the Final Four. We went at it on this very frequency the first time I worked here before ESPN bought it. He and I, Steve Lyons, remember Steve Lyons? He was my partner. We got into it with Billy.
He was psycho, and you were the bald guy.
Did he have his pants on or off when you did this?
Off, 100%. That was a staple for the show. Anyway, Billy Packer shows up at one of the sites to call like a Sweet 16 game, and he just walks in like he owns the place, and a security guard who was like a college student. Excuse me, sir, I need to see your pass. Don't you know who I am? No clue. And he went off on her. Really? She's just doing her job.
That didn't surprise you, did it?
No,
because Billy Packer.
Is he still alive?
Yes, he's still alive. I just told you a story about Billy Packer 2 weeks
ago.
He's
a jackass.
You were going to say a different word?
No, I was not.
Short for Richard?
Do you hate Billy Packer?
No. I don't hate anybody.
Not as much as you hate red peppers. But
red and green peppers you can keep. Those are awful. But other than that, that word's been stricken to the best of my ability.
Your Honor, if I may.
Yes.
You make the call. Calling a person the name short for Richard... Isn't that just like saying you hate them?
No. And I didn't say that word.
You were close.
No. I said jackass.
You were close. Hoodie stopped you.
He's
were going to say it.
Yeah, jackass. Take that.
Isn't that the same thing as saying I hate someone?
No.
That's pretty close.
You know what?
It's on the hate tree.
I like that. We should create the branches of the hate tree. I like that, Hoodie.
What are other words for that other
word? I'm on the hate tree. What a... He said he hated me again.
I love Sylvie.
Then stop bringing him up and leave him alone.
I didn't bring him up all day, though. Just now.
Leave him alone.
I left him alone. Gray hair and all, yes.
Oh.
You know what Patrick Ewing?
I don't have any.
You know what Patrick Ewing needs? He needs a lackey like Jordan has who just pulls up highlights so that people know who he is when he's walking through Madison Square Garden.
Do you know who this is?
His lackey could pull up the dunk of when Pippen put these nuts right in his face.
Yes.
Like, hey, I'm the guy who's being dunked on. Let me through.
Awesome.
European player, these nuts. Yeah. He's very good. Again, there's one caveat, Danny. Unless he was profiled, unless he was treated unfairly, so, you know, like Oakley, then that's a whole different thing.
Right.
But if they're just like, hold on a second, sir, do you have your pass? Then the person doing that's the only way that I would side with Patrick on that in that spot. But for me, it's like, hey, man, you're like anybody else. Unless it's those two things I just mentioned.
But I've coached in tournaments. I've broadcast tournaments. They give you your credential on a lanyard, and you put it around your neck.
Yes.
And then when the game starts, 98% of the coaches hand it to the student manager. Go here, you, and they take care of it until after the game. Is it that hard to just put it around your neck, and as you walk by, there's my pass? Come on, man.
Again, I don't know the what happened there in that spot. I do not know, but I'm just saying that. Otherwise, if it's someone just saying, "Hey, Patrick, hey, we got to have your," then he should have that available.
Agreed.
Danny,
we will.
So all the time we have, boys.
Okay. Damn it. Anyway, best basketball player in the history of Illinois is. That's next.
Take that.
Take that.
Get social with our new morning show. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
Cap and J Hood.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
All right, who's the best basketball player in the history of Illinois? I'm talking about a guy who played his prep basketball here and then went on to his greatness.
Isaiah Thomas. Beat that.
Kevin Garnett.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Stop trying. I know you want him to be born and raised on the west side of Chicago and a great story, but he's just not that, Cap. He's just not that. I wish that he was, that his birth certificate would say Chicago, Illinois, born here, born and raised, went to Farragut, went on to the NBA. Take that. You can't do that, man.
He played at Farragut.
Transferred to Farragut.
He did, from Malden, South Carolina.
I know you want him. So
he's one of my all-time favorite players.
I know you want that story for him to be born and raised here and then went to Farragut and became an all. But he's not ours.
Danny, that's the one, like one of the true guests I really want to talk to. I love Kevin Garnett, and I haven't talked to him in eons. He was at my home when he was a high school kid.
When's the documentary coming out that you were part of?
I think it comes out next fall before the basketball season.
Okay.
They're doing a documentary. I think it's Showtime. They came to the house during COVID and interviewed me. Is it Showtime, Jeff? Yeah. I think it's Showtime. And I'm just telling you, man, that guy was old school. I love him.
All right, someone who was born and raised here, that's the all-time great.
Wow.
I got first bid on Isaiah Thomas. I want you to beat that. You want some names?
Cazzy Russell. Let me see if I can guess the names you have on that list. Cazzy Russell, got to be on the list.
Not on this list, but I would agree.
George Mikan.
Sure.
Jack Sikma.
Yes.
From St. Anne, Illinois. He played at Illinois Wesleyan.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Aguirre.
Sure.
Ben Wilson.
Should
now, tragically died and did not go on to play college ball. He died as a high school senior, but he was amazing.
From your research and your scouting, was he NBA ready?
Yes.
Like, could have skipped college?
He could have jumped to the pros. He needed to get stronger. He was thin, but that guy... I remember we were recruiting Kenny Battle, 84 state championship.
Yep.
And it's the semifinals, and Everett Stevens and Evanston are in there. And by the way, a little known fact, the bench warmer on the Evanston team that lost in the state finals to Simeon, Casey Johnson. Casey Johnson was on the bench for Evanston. Couldn't guard his lunch.
Randy Merkin chimes in with Jalen Brunson.
No, stop yourself, Merkin.
One title, three appearances.
He was a really good high school player. Jalen Brunson wasn't as good a high school player as John Shire. John Shire goes down high school, one of the best ever.
Mo Cheeks is on here. Yep. Doug Collins is on here.
Yep, Benton, Illinois, number one pick in the NBA draft, U.S. Olympian.
Tim Hardaway.
Yep, great.
Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade, absolutely.
How about Antoine Walker?
Got to be. Marcus Liberty.
Yeah. D-Rose.
D-Rose absolutely has to be on that list.
Sloan.
Jerry Sloan from McLeansboro.
So I take Isaiah Thomas. So that's my number one. But the reason why I bring this up is because of a piece in theathletic.com. And they were talking about, Cap, the 50 states, 100 NBA players. We choose the best from every state, from New York to Hawaii. And so this is those names we mentioned are a part of the state of Illinois.
Absolutely 100% think the best high school basketball for a city is from Chicago. You go back through, I mean.
Well, how many arguments have you had with New York people about that? I know I've had a ton. They think that they are the Mecca and that we're just like in South Dakota someplace. I'm like, excuse me? I know we have different styles, right? Mm-hmm. Their style is different than our style. Mm-hmm. The Bay Area will argue all day up and down.
And Detroit.
Oh, my God.
Philly.
They all argue is like, right. You sure that this is not the Mecca? Like, Bay Area, those San Francisco, Oakland guys? My God. Very aggressive.
Very aggressive. So, very.
But the names we mentioned, those are great names.
Oh, my goodness. Mark Aguirre, when you consider everything he accomplished, National Player of the Year in college, top 10, top 5 high school player out of Westinghouse, took DePaul to, you know, some really storied heights, although they did not win a national championship.
Now, listen, we gave some great names. What if you're California? Go ahead, Danny.
I was just going to say, I looked over this whole list. So they gave you a winner, the guy that they say is the best, and then a runner-up. The state of North Carolina has the best 1-2 punch on the list.
Okay, Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan, the greatest player of all time. And Steph Curry, the best shooter in the history of the game. That you're not going
to
find.
Pretty tough to beat.
You're not going to find a 2-on-2 matchup better than North Carolina.
It's pretty good.
That's better than Mike and Isaiah.
Yeah.
Who does LeBron get to run with in Ohio? Who's the second best out of Ohio?
I will look that up.
That's a great one.
I'll give you that in 2 minutes.
All right. Be right back.